Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
Ben, we're revisiting a topic today.
Yes, we are, and we're revisiting it in a timely manner, Scott.
Yeah, that's right, because there's a big Memorial Day weekend coming up here, and we've got a lot of racing going on, right?
Yes, sir.
And with a lot of races comes what? A lot of?
Pace cars.
That's right. So every race has a pace car now. Every big race anyways, like, circle tracks and road courses and what have you. You'll find that not a whole lot has changed in the world of pace cars since the last time we talked about them, but I think it's worthwhile revisiting the topic and maybe adding to some of the information that we've already had. Because there's a few things here specifically. There's something that I'm going to bring up near the end here that has to do with pace car mishaps and things like that I've kind of newly found that have been out there for a while that I think fans are going to find interesting.
Right. And as you notice, we have been doing this thing now in our shows where we say, here's a little twist at the end. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, Scott, I like it. I like having a little hang on, wait for it
thing. Something to wait for, right? Mm-hmm. So let's jump right into it here. Pace car drivers, okay? We're going to talk about pace car drivers an awful lot as well.
Yeah.
Now, to me, and I know this seems kind of silly, but I bet you they're under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress on the day of the race. Now, I'll tell you why is because, then not only the race car is behind you counting on you to properly execute this maneuver that you're doing, and it really is a maneuver.
Yeah.
Also, there's fans that are watching you, I mean, carefully. There are hundreds of thousands of fans sometimes that are watching.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a televised race and one of the big ones, let's say that it's the Daytona 500, it's the Indy 500, or even the Coca-Cola 600, something mm-hmm. like that, you know that there are probably millions of fans watching.
Yes.
Literally millions. And I think that, there's a good opportunity here for a pace car driver to make a slight mistake that gets amplified. It's not as easy as it looks, really. I mean, they're going much, much faster than it appears on television.
Right. Comparatively, they look slower, but we have to remember that's because they're coming out in the midst of a very, very quickly paced race.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. And even at the head of the race, you're thinking like, man, this is slow.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, there's always a parade lap, which is, just to kind of show off the field and get everybody lined up. And
sure, warm up laps.
Exactly. One time past the stands. Then there's the pace lap, which is mm-hmm. a little bit faster. Pace car pulls off, and then that's when the race begins. Well, and on that pace lap, oftentimes, just Indy, for instance.
Yeah.
They're going like 140 miles an hour, Ben. And it looks like they're just creeping along because the track is 2.5 miles around. Normally, you're accustomed to seeing the race cars approaching speeds of, 230, 240
mm-hmm.
in that particular race.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're going to up at 100 miles per hour after the pace car pulls off. That's a pretty dramatic increase right there. I think that it's just a lot faster than it looks. There's a lot of opportunity for mistakes to be made.
Right.
And I think that, most of the time they pull it off well. I think that, a driver, they get this maybe what, like a week of training, something like
yeah,
that? Yeah,
absolutely.
At the most.
We have to outline and underline and highlight and whatever else we can do to emphasize that point. Scott, these are not race car drivers.
No, and they're not in a race car. They're in
yeah.
a street car. So there,
mm-hmm.
there's a non-professional driver in a street car in front of professional drivers in race cars. And, there's a little bit of room there for error.
I mean, that already sounds like one of those anxiety-filled weird dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? My Tennessee came out.
Yeah, a little
anxiety-filled. Weird dreams that somebody would tell their therapist about, like, oh, I had this terrible dream where I was in a regular street car.
Yeah, yes.
Pace cars, we should also say, pace cars don't just lead warm-ups. In Formula One, you'll also hear them called something similar, the safety car.
Yeah, safety car.
I believe, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, in Formula One, the pace car, safety car, doesn't actually lead a warm-up lap.
They may parade them around, but the cars line up on a grid.
Right.
So it's a standing start. Now, a lot of times when we see pace cars in other races, we see them where they're at speed, they pull off the track,
mm-hmm.
and then there's maybe a quarter of a lap before the actual race begins with a flag. Now, when they line up on a grid, obviously there's no need for a pace car to pull up, stop, allow everybody to grid up and then pull off.
Right.
They don't do that. So that's the reason. But the safety car does come out under caution.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that, because that's one of the other large, important tasks of every pace car. So when a caution flag's displayed during a race, this pace car comes out, takes a position in front of the lead car, and the field groups behind it. So why do they do this? They do it because it establishes who's going to lead when the race is on.
Exactly. It's an important role that the pace car plays mid-race. Even more so than the beginning of the race,
I think.
Because it maintains order. And I think, you know, I was listening to our last episode on pace cars, Ben, and you said something that I thought was so funny in the last episode. You said they're kind of like the hall monitors on race day. So if you take this, to saying that the pace cars are the hall monitors of race day, I totally agree in that they maintain control. They keep everything in order. You know, they're in communication with race control.
Mm-hmm.
Race control is telling them, no, you need to position these people. They're in charge of kind of jockeying people around and getting them in the right spot.
Getting them around debris, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Around debris and emergency workers, you know, that are on the track, or, you know, wreckage or, you know, anything else that happens to be out there. You know, sometimes, oddly enough, like maybe a dog will wander onto the track or a rabbit or something like that. And they actually, you know, call a caution, escort that, you know, that that animal off the track, or that person, or, you know, mm-hmm. the drunk spectator, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, they safely get the field around them. So, you know, they play a very important role. And can I – just one quick thing, I guess.
Yeah.
We need to talk about who drives the pace cars, but I want to mention this. You know, at the beginning of the race, you'll often find that there's a well-known figure, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But that changes after the parade lap and the pace lap. There's almost always a professional driver driving for caution periods in the pace car. So someone else takes control when race control is communicating with them, saying, you know, no, you're not lined up right. You need to let this one come ahead, back this person up. You know, mm-hmm. they communicate back and forth. The professional driver is sometimes like a retired race driver from that series,
yeah.
Or maybe just a legend in motorsports of some kind, mm-hmm. or like in NASCAR's case, they use a NASCAR official oftentimes, somebody who really, really familiar with the rules and regulations. And of course, you know, Formula One, they have the same guy driving the safety car all the time, so
right.
He obviously knows what's going on. But yeah, the person who drives the car for the parade and the pace lap is not the same person who takes care of the rest of the race duties.
Yeah, a good comparison for people who want a benchmark for this would be the person who throws the opening pitch for a baseball game,
mm-hmm.
because they're part of a spectacle or a tradition. They're not throwing a pitch that will affect the game. And I think there is a comparison there because, for instance, if we could dive into my favorite pace car year for Indy 500, 1999, when a Monte Carlo was driven by Jay Leno, that's the first lap. So that's not him going under caution, steering people around debris, in communication with race control. That's kind of as you said, the parade for the spectators.
Yeah, important job nonetheless, but it's,
totally.
But it's a ceremonial position, much as the pitcher was, as you said.
That's the word, ceremonial.
It's ceremonial versus very practical.
Mm-hmm.
And the practical is, of course, you know, the race duties during the race, but the ceremonial opportunities or the ceremonial obligations, rather,
mm-hmm.
That we talked about the again, parade, pace lap, and all that. It's also for along the lines of ceremonial. It's also along the lines of manufacturers showcasing their product.
Ooh,
it's also along the line of celebrities promoting movies and things like that. and the parades outside of the venue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's say that there's a parade through the main town. Oftentimes there are. Also, you know, there's maybe like local dealership promotions, things like that. So, or to carry the if it's convertible. If someone has been nominated as, the race queen or the race king and queen of, this event, they'll parade them, wherever they happen to go and local, media opportunities, things
sure.
like that.
So especially building up to a race.
Yeah. The pace car makes a lot of appearances here and there. And, sometimes it's not the official pace car. Sometimes it's these additional cars. The I'll think of the term in just a minute, but support cars. That's it.
Right, support cars. You got it.
So, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go on.
But who drives these things, Ben? I mean, who's the typical pace car driver, really? Because it seems like there's a huge list, really.
Yeah, there's a huge list. They could include anything from celebrity figures like Jay Leno to people who are associated with the automotive industry like Henry Ford II. There could be some retired racers. It's interesting when we think about, at least in Indy 500, the very first pace car that's typically cited is the Stoddard Dayton from 1911.
Yeah, that goes way, way back.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, that is. That's deep. Now, I've got some Indy pace car facts and figures I want to hit you with a little bit later. But just to add to the list of who drives sometimes.
Yeah.
You mentioned motorsports legends, heads of industry, celebrities. But there are also sometimes athletes.
Yeah.
Local celebrities. You might find, at smaller events, you might find the Channel 2 anchorman or, something like that. The weather guy or
whatever. High school quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The high school quarterback.
Military figures as well.
That's a good one. Yep. Auto designers sometimes do it. If it's a designer of a particular vehicle.
Yep.
Somebody who's manufactured something or well known for that design. I'm going to say politicians, but not all that often. And this is another one, Ben. Sometimes people say this contest winners. However, I think they usually pair them with a race official, and that's usually a ride-along. That, if you win a contest, you're not necessarily going to be able to actually drive the pace car, although that may or may not have happened. I don't know. I can't say for sure. You'd have to investigate each case.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
But I think that's often an opportunity to ride along in the pace car. That would be that's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
anyways.
Kidding?
I mean, driving's great, but riding along is the next best thing, really.
Sure, especially if you get to ride along for every pace car appearance in the race.
Oh, that would be really cool.
That would be super cool. But also, we didn't mention something that we should establish, which is that pace cars over the years have not been the same makes, not the same model, not the same manufacturer at all.
Yep.
And for instance, astute listeners, you guys probably noticed that I've been quoting some Indy 500 specs here, and we went from a Stoddard Dayton in 1911 to a Monte Carlo in 1999. And between those two, just between those two dates, there's a wide range of variety. I mean, there are more different types of cars than there are different drivers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
At least in Indy 500.
Yeah, the drivers double up there, or they've maybe even more than one time. In fact, I've got some stats here in a minute that I want to get to. But Indy 500, I mean, my gosh, Ben, there's so many different pace cars here. Now 2013... the race in Indy during 2013 is going to be the 97th running, which sounds kind of funny because it started in 1911, but you got to remember the war years where they didn't race.
Great point.
And this race goes back so far that we've actually got a break for World War I, which went from 1917 to 1918. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a break for World War II, which is 1942 all the way through 1945. So that's another, that's a total of 6 years where they didn't race. So in three more years, in 2016, we're actually going to have the 100th running of the Indy 500, even though it's been around for, at that point, 106.
Mm-hmm. Provided everything goes well.
Yeah, provided everything goes well. Let's hope that that is the year that they do run. And do you want to, maybe should we talk about this year's pace car?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Because as you know, the weekend's coming up, Scott.
Yeah, it's upon us. So, you'll be able to catch that one on television. I know for sure that they broadcast that one. You want to hit us with what it is?
Ah, wait, no, you do the car. I'll do the driver.
All right, sounds good. So for this year's Indy 500, the 97th running, the pace car is going to be the 2014 Chevrolet Corvette Stingray. And in addition to that, I've got some stats in just a moment about how many times the Corvette has been selected. But Ben, you wanted to tell us about the driver, right?
Yes, the driver is going to be 49ers coach Jim Harbaugh. He's going to be driving the pace car, which you said, of course, is the Corvette Stingray. Interesting story about the Stingray. It's powered by a new type of V8 engine. It's going to be created in Tonawanda, New York, or excuse me, it already has been created, I hope,
yeah.
Because listeners, as you're hearing this, we're mere days away. And it's going to, this is not available to the public right now, this engine, but it's going to be the standard engine for all the 2014 Stingrays.
So this one is kind of a unique, at this point, Corvette. Now you mentioned that, you know, he's actually the coach of the 49ers, right?
Yes.
He was the former quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts also. So he spent some time in mm-hmm. Indianapolis, and I think he's a, from what I've read, he's a big Indianapolis 500 fan. So, you know, this is kind of like one of those dream come true moments for him, in addition to winning the Super Bowl, you know, that
right.
type of thing. He's had a great career, of course, but, you know,
yeah.
as a celebrity driver, this is somebody who, you know, he does have roots in Indianapolis, so this is a good pick, I think.
Well, also, some fans of the Colts may recognize him better as Captain Comeback, which was the name that he had. He's also a part-time owner of Panther Racing, based in Indianapolis. So some people who you may recognize, J.R. Hildebrand and Townsend Bell, mm-hmm. Both drive for Panther.
Yeah, Panther Racing is a name that you'll hear often when you're listening to Indianapolis coverage. Now, Ben, I mentioned that one cool thing about Indianapolis, and I want to mention the Daytona 500 pace cars also in a moment.
Yes,
but, just a little bit of side information, but. What's really cool about the Indy 500, the Motor Speedway site, is that you can find all these great stats about the pace cars, about the races themselves, mm-hmm. about the drivers. They've really got everything broken down very, very well, very concisely. And there's lists of, you know, like how many times a driver has driven the pace car, how many times a certain car has been represented at the track, how many
right.
times a certain manufacturer has been represented at the track. So, I mean, let's just kind of go through this, I guess, maybe quickly. Now, we don't have to go into too much detail on this, but
okay.
You mentioned the 1911 race.
Yes, the 1911 race. Are we going to talk about the driver?
Yeah, the driver, which is Carl G. Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually paced the race. Now, he was a Speedway owner at the time, right? Am I correct?
You are correct, sir.
1911 through 1915, he drove the pace car. Obviously, that's one of the perks of owning the track, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's five appearances for him. Jim Rathman, from 1969, 72, 73, 74, 78. Ooh. So he's got five appearances as well. The only one.
Also 82. Rathman drove in 82.
The only one that tops that is Sam Hanks,
mm-hmm.
and Sam Hanks made six appearances as a pace car driver. And I think, you know what?
That's 58 through 63.
Yeah, and there was a reason for that, right? I mean, he was named director of racing for the USAC. So he assumed the pace car duties for that entire time. It wasn't that, you know, he was being nominated. He wasn't a celebrity of any kind.
Right.
He just was he's a director of racing and used that opportunity to, and I don't know if maybe it was just part of his role in order to do that. So anyway, Sam Hanks is the driver with the most appearances at Indianapolis throughout the years.
Yeah,
so far. And that goes all the way back from, you know, again, 58 through 63.
I also want to mention, I forgot to mention this, we should talk about some types of vehicles that have been most selected as pace cars. For instance, Chevrolet has been a Indy 500 pace car 21 times, my friend.
Really? Okay, 21 times. Yeah, you know what? And this has got it broken down even further. The Corvette has been selected 12 times, including this year. Mm-hmm. So the Corvette, you'll notice that the Corvette comes up often in this. And there's a good reason for that, is that, you know, it's Chevy's top-end vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a long-standing relationship with the venue and the track and the track owners and all that. Camaro has been selected 7 times. There's other ones here that you just wouldn't expect, like the Stoddard Dayton, selected 3 times, Packard 3 times, LaSalle 3 times, the Mustang 3 times. Now, Ben, there's a lot of wonder out there why the Mustang isn't selected more often as the pace car. And, you know, I don't really know what the process is. I don't know why Chevy is getting all the favor at this point, but,
it is surprising how rarely the Mustang has been. I mean, it's tied with a Stoddard Dayton. Stoddard Dayton got away with that 3-time appearance because one was the first year, 1911,
mm-hmm.
and then 1913 and 1914.
Yeah.
And it's still in a dead heat, technically, with the Mustang.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And then, I mean, below that are cars like the Trans Am, the Hurst Olds Cutlass, the Viper, which was there twice, the Aurora. And then there's this huge list of cars that were only asked to do it once. Great big list of that. Now, that's the same with the drivers, because there's, you know, there's people on the list of drivers like Chuck Yeager and Carroll Shelby and Bobby Unser and Barney Oldfeld. People, and those are people that have been asked twice to drive.
Right.
Now, the list of drivers that have been asked once, and it's not that they've done anything wrong, it's just that their time and their rotation. So,
right. Lance Armstrong.
Yeah,
who is
exactly
one of my favorite people on the list.
He's been asked once, but
right.
You know what? Until he makes that second, he's not going to make this list that, you know, of multiple appearances. And, I got one more thing here. It's by manufacturer.
Yeah.
And, you'd mentioned that, I forget what the number that you said there for Chevy, but
21.
If you look at General Motors, now General Motors is, you know, the Pontiac, you know, Oldsmobile. I'm trying to think of all the brands that they had at one time. Chevy, of course.
Yeah.
48 times, Ben, including this year's pace vehicle, 48 times General Motors has been selected as the manufacturer for the official pace car. Chrysler is falling behind with only 13.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Ford with 11. Studebaker, Ben, with 6, which includes the Packard vehicles, by the way.
Okay.
Stoddard-Dayton again at 3. And then Stutz with 2. So a multiple appearance from Stutz, going, you know, way back. I'm talking like 1912 and then, one in 1921. So that's way, way back. Obviously, no one drives a Stutz anymore. There's also cars, you know, that were made one appearance, like the Marmon and, you know, things like that, that, you know, they were popular at the time, but, you know, they just made one appearance and that was it.
Yeah. And what's interesting there about the GM numbers, which I'm glad you brought up, is that of that, what was that, 68?
No, I'm sorry. It's 48, I think.
48, okay.
I'm digging through my notes. 48 appearances by Chevrolet.
68 sounds way too
high. You know what? I'm making a mistake.
What is it?
48 by General Motors.
48 by General Motors.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Of those 48, 11 were Oldsmobiles.
Okay, so, you know, within that, there are different rankings.
Right,
right.
Okay, right. So you had said.
11 times Oldsmobile, Chevrolet 24 times, including this year. Now that's in part due to how many times that Corvette has appeared.
Yeah, I would say almost primarily.
Yeah, I think so.
That.
I think so.
Now we're going to come back and talk about some more pace cars in races other than Indy.
To me, Ben, I mean, now looking at that picture, I'm showing you a picture of this 41 Phaeton that's my favorite pace car. It's a concept vehicle. It's one of five, and it's unique in its own way. I mean, all five of them, I think, were slightly different.
Yes.
This thing, it makes appearances at shows like, you know, the Concours shows and things like that. This is it's a gorgeous car, and I know there are others out there. I don't know how many are left of the five. But to me, it's difficult to picture this thing leading a pack of race cars at any great rate of speed because of its size. It's just an enormous vehicle. I know it's probably capable of it with that giant engine under the hood, but,
right.
It doesn't appear to be much more than like, it looks like a great parade car. Looks like a great promotional car, of course. But I just don't see it as like, you know, what we see today is like usually a sports car, usually something that, has a very, very fast engine that's almost capable of keeping up just about with the race cars on the track.
Yeah.
This is definitely not the case with this one.
I have a sidebar, an unrelated fact,
sure,
that I'd like to get into before we go to Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting piece of trivia here for people who are curious. Throughout Indy 500 history, the pace car for race day has always been a domestic brand. It's always been a U.S. brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pulling this from your excellent blog post on pace cars. Scott has several, one in which he accurately predicted the upcoming pace car.
Yeah, that was a while ago. I don't think it was that difficult, really. I mean, there's a new Corvette this year, and look how many times Corvette has been the pace car for Indy. I think it was just an easy selection on my part. But there was still, at that time, there was a lot of speculation as to what it would be. Would it be another Camaro? Would it be this? Would it be some other manufacturer, which would be kind of unheard of at this point? But
I thought it was pretty impressive.
Well, thank you.
So with that, don't let my compliment toward you make it awkward. Let's go ahead and go to Daytona 500.
All right, so I've got some numbers here that not a whole lot of detail really about the Daytona 500, other than the pace car list here starts in 1959, obviously, through the present. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference in this list is that they really haven't used any kind of celebrity driver in the NASCAR Daytona 500 except since 2006. So they're relatively recent to jump on the celebrity driver bandwagon, I guess.
Yeah.
It started with Jay Leno. Mm-hmm. In 2006, he drove a Corvette C6, the new Corvette C6. And it goes all the way through, 2013, where Mark Roos? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know who that is even. I'm not a celebrity watcher. I don't know who that is. But anyways, they got celebrity drivers from 2006 all the way through this year. But prior to that, it was just a NASCAR official that handled the the pace car duties. Mm-hmm. Now, one unusual thing that will stand out to you is that if you look at the entire list from 59 all the way through about 1971, there's a reasonable mix of cars. I mean, there's Pontiac, Buick, some Dodge cars, a Plymouth Belvedere is thrown in there, some convertibles, a Firebird in 67, the Ford Torino GT convertible. But then starting in 1972 and all the way through, get this, 2003. From 1972 to 2003.
Wow.
Pontiac is the only brand represented for that. So 31 years of Pontiac pace cars at the Daytona 500. I thought that was kind of a long, long string. Now, obviously, that's a sponsorship deal that's happening there. But, in all different models. I mean, the Grand Prix, the Trans Am, it looks like the Firebird, even the Aztec made an appearance there. Mm-hmm. It was just a Pontiac sponsorship deal at Daytona. But, recently they've had, the Chevy Corvette that I mentioned, they've had a Toyota Camry, Camaro, a Mustang. So, they're kind of mixing it up again. But that one long streak, that just really stands out to me.
Yeah, that's amazing. From the 70s to the 2000s.
And I have to, how about two more things again? We did that in another podcast.
Yeah, we did one more thing twice.
Yeah, you want to do that again?
Yes, but let me do just a little Formula One thing.
Oh, sure.
Go in. Is that cool?
Of course,
and
yes.
Remember, we still got that twist at the end.
Yes.
Okay, so we earlier established that Formula One has its own version of these pace cars, and they're called safety cars. Mm-hmm. They do things just a little bit differently, but the primary purpose is still the same. So a safety car, just like a pace car, is important to guaranteeing a seamless race, in theory, a race free from disruption, allowing the racers to continue even after a huge accident. And we're talking about something that might have race marshals out on the track. So since this can't happen with cars running at full speed, even under caution, the safety car, like a pace car, deploys, the pack forms up behind it until the obstacle is getting cleared away. But one thing that I think is very important for us to remember, to underline, to establish, is that no matter how fast these road cars are, Scott, even if they're redlining, they're barely capable of keeping up with a Formula One.
It's difficult.
Keeping a pace. So that is one of the reasons why this is a very demanding task for the pace car drivers. A Formula One car, if it's going too slow, then we're talking about problems with tire temperatures, and we're talking about even potentially engine overheating.
Sure.
And so there's a sort of a Venn diagram, if you will, of where the pace car can maintain its speed.
Well, how fast can the pace car go, and how slow can the F1 cars go, right?
Precisely.
And I've seen some mishaps with the F1 pace car. Mm-hmm. That he's overcooked it through a couple of turns, and there's some scary moments. And a lot of drifting and that kind of stuff going on too. So he's really maxing it out in order just to keep up with those guys who are really holding it back. Mm-hmm. In order to maintain the position behind him, et cetera, because there's no passing the pace car,
right?
Under caution, so that's one of the steadfast rules, and it's probably difficult when you've got all this horsepower that you're sitting on, and the car is telling you, you got to go a little bit faster. I need a little more air.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And he's maxing out, you know, going as fast as he can. And it's just that they're, like you said, the Venn diagram's not overlapping enough, I don't think.
No. It takes a very particular set of skills. So that's why a guy named Bernd Mailander is an experienced racer who's been piloting Formula One safety cars since the 2000s, since 2000, actually. And so he knows the high limits of the pace car. Or excuse me, I keep saying pace car. The safety car.
The safety car, yeah.
Right. And although this is tremendously punishing to the safety car, he's the guy behind the wheel who can get into that sliver of overlap between the bottom of the Formula One ability and the top of the streetcar ability.
Yeah, the guy's a pro.
The guy is definitely a pro, and I just wanted to mention that before we move on to the one more thing, because I think that is, if not unique, it is an extreme example of a problem that surely exists with all pace cars, but this is probably, for my money right now, that's probably the most difficult to drive is the F1 safety car.
My first one more thing has something to do with this. It's very close. All right, so here's one more thing.
One more thing.
All right, now here's a car that's capable of keeping up with the pace, with the field, rather. There's a two-seater Izod-sponsored car that IndyCar has been using for a couple of years now, maybe 3 years now at this point. This weekend will be hopefully the fourth. I hope we see it again. It's been driven the first year in 2010 by Michael Andretti, and in 2011 and 12 it was driven by Mario Andretti. And it's an IndyCar with two seats. They sit tandem. You know, so the driver sits in front, the passenger sits behind, slightly elevated. It's got to be the ride of your life, having Mario Andretti in a true Indy car with a second seat behind it. It's like a lengthened Indy car, and I tell you, Ben, they really punish it. I mean, it's out there for the pace lap. It's out there, you know, doing other parade laps as well. You know, fast laps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first year the passenger was Mark Wahlberg. Then there was a Sergeant Latsine Benson, I think was his name, and then Thomas Patton, who was the first one was an Iraqi war veteran for the U.S. Army, and the second was a contest winner. So, you know, maybe this year we'll see another contest winner. I don't know who's up for a ride in the Izod two-seater, but
That's amazing.
That is a cool thing. Now, I've got one last one more thing, and then I'm done.
Okay.
You have anything else?
I just want to say that it's got to be very interesting to sit in an elevated seat. I would wonder how high the elevation is, because that would freak me out, frankly.
To be out in the wide open with no steering wheel.
If it's too elevated, I would not be cool.
I understand, but just the feeling's got to be incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my last one more thing.
One more thing.
All right, now this one is going to require a little bit of digging up on your part, because you have to see this, because these are some incredible scenes here. But safety cars and pace cars oftentimes do fail in their in their obligations, and it doesn't happen too often, you know, given that, you know, hundreds of these happen all the time, probably every weekend,
right?
But when it does, it's usually pretty dramatic. Now I'm going to quick list through a couple of my favorites here, but if you search this video, and I'll tell you this the name of this specifically, it's a YouTube video. Safety car fails. That's it. Safety car fails. Easy as that. It's about 9 minutes long. It has a good compilation of several of these. And I mean, they go from like the Indy 500 1971, where, you know, the pace car went out of control and hit the photographer's stand.
Yes.
There's also like a Le Mans series race where, you know, the green series, the green lights say go, but the pace car didn't pull off the track and everybody bunched up behind the pace car because they were at speed at that point. There's this Dutch supercar challenge in 2008 where there's a huge pileup that happens because of the pace car. There's an ARCA series race here. There's a World Touring Car Championship race, Formula 3 race. There's even a World of Outlaws race where, the outlaw car comes around and smashes into the push truck that starts the vehicles. And, you know, one of the funniest ones, Ben, and this is it for the fail things. And there's a tiny little mention of this on the end of this video, but you can see the full clip later if you want. You can search for it. In 1986 at Talladega, a drunken fan got into the pace car before the race and drove several laps around the track.
Oh, my gosh.
While race officials chased him on motorcycles, state troopers were after him in police cars. Fans were going crazy, going nuts. They eventually set up a roadblock for him in the fourth turn, and he stopped. And I'll tell you, Ben, if you've got this idea of, you know, like, that sounds like pretty fun, you know, like, I might be able to get away with this. There's close-up video of this, or film of this, probably. They pulled this guy out of the car by his hair, Ben. They weren't nice to him, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But the fans were going crazy, and everybody, you know, they're saying, well, the announcers are saying stuff like, well, you know, they're applauding the officials for quickly ending this. I think they were applauding the guy. I think they're applauding the guy that did it. So it was it's an interesting thing. I've never seen a pace car stolen on the track before and driven. It was just a joyride, but man, they didn't treat him. They treated him harshly. I'll tell you that. And
I
with
am
good
not
reason.
Surprised.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm not either.
And it's
a dangerous situation.
If you think about it. Which is still kind of cracking me up to think about it. If you think about it, it seems that often when there's someone who does a spectacle like that, whether they're a flasher or, I guess, a car thief, the audience is surprisingly on the side of that person.
Yeah. That was a 1986 in Talladega. So if you need to search it, you know, if you want to, it's a NASCAR race. And it's funny to the point where they're pulling him out of the car. And then it's like, oh, man, that guy, he really screwed up that day.
And it's funny because of that. You guys, it's funny because it is a cautionary tale. Scott and I are not implying that you should try to steal a pace car. In fact, let's go ahead and imply the opposite. All right, so this wraps it up for our revisit of pace cars. We hope that everyone enjoyed it. We hope that you get a chance to check out some of the races this Memorial Day weekend. And when you're doing that, pay some attention. Give a polite clap to the hardworking professionals and the celebrities driving the pace car and ensuring that the racers get through it in the safest and fastest manner possible. Also, Scott and I are on the internet. If you have any ideas for some upcoming topics or suggestions, or hey Scott, what about this? Or if you have driven a pace car,
that's a good one.
Please write in and let us know. You can find us on Facebook. We're Car Stuff HSW.
I'm going to add one thing.
Add one thing.
What if somebody owns one of these like commemorative vehicles, like a pace car that they drive on the street every day?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, with the full decal kit, the custom paint, the stitching inside, whatever it happens to be, you know, better motor, whatever it is. Tell us about that, too.
And you can send pictures of that to our Facebook, which we've mentioned, or to our Twitter, or heck, we love getting email. Go ahead and send us an email at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.